Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, December the 6th. Usually right near the beginning of the week, we have a conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. And since the church year has turned over, we turn over the stories, so to speak, back to the beginning of the New Testament. The New Testament begins, at least in Luke's Gospel, oddly enough, telling Jesus' story by way of telling John's story. John, the man we will come to know as John the Baptist, because his ministry is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But why do we talk about John in Luke's Gospel before we get to Jesus? In fact, there are two stories of their births that are actually woven together rather masterfully. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School, Youth, and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum that forms the basis of our weekly conversations with Pam. It's called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. We deal with this every time we read the first couple chapters of Luke's Gospel, where the story of John comes before the story of Jesus. Why is it important that we meet John before we meet Jesus?
Well, that's a terrific question, and people who are listening who are Sunday school teachers with Growing in Christ will notice that these lessons that we cover in the Advent time connect with the gospel readings in the lectionary, but aren't always the gospel reading, because we really do feel it's important to help a child understand this sequence, Jesus, John, Jesus, and how the two work together, how God used both John and his son together for our salvation. So you're right. They're very related. They're very connected. And this week, we're going to talk about the birth of John, because John is the one who was the last prophet. And he's the one that later on in Luke, grown up, points to Jesus, to the incarnate Jesus, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was the forerunner, and he too was prophesied about by the prophets of old, who said that one would come and would point to this Savior, calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And indeed, that was this John. And this is the story of his birth and the connection he has, both a family connection between mothers and a spiritual connection, and a special calling, a unique calling that God gave to him before he was born to be the forerunner of Jesus, the Savior.
Before you tell us the story, this is a miraculous birth, as miraculous as any of the others in Scripture, save the one that we're going to witness in Luke chapter 2. This is not a birth that could have been accomplished by the mere powers of Elizabeth and Zechariah.
Well, that's exactly right. We have an old couple. This is not unfamiliar in Scripture, a couple that had not conceived, had not had children, and who had given up because of their age. And yet, God has another plan, as he often does, kind of harkens back to Abraham and Sarah. But in this story, we have the father, Zechariah, and this is during the days of Herod, the king of Judea. There is Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They're believing people. The text says that they were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which really is to say they were people of faith, and God counted them righteous because of their faith. But they had no children. And it happens, and the story comes about in verse 8. Zechariah is a priest in the church, and he was serving in the temple, in the church, according to the custom of his priesthood, doing what he was to do, chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the people are there praying outside, following the customs of the church. And while he is alone there in the temple burning the incense, an angel appears to him, an angel of the Lord, and he stands on the right side of the altar, and you know, as you can imagine, fear falls on Zechariah. He's troubled by what he sees, and the angel tells him, and here are familiar words this time of year, do not be afraid. And then he says, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. These also are familiar words, but we're talking about a different couple, not Mary and Joseph here. Anyway, the angel tells him this, and he tells him that he'll have joy and gladness, and much to rejoice about, and goes on to talk about this son who must not drink wine, and that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Wonderful text there. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And then verse 17, he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, making ready for the Lord a people prepared. That's John's calling and duty. And then we have Zechariah questioning the angel. How can I know this? And then he recounts for the angel as if he doesn't know. I'm an old man and my wife is also old. And the angel says to him, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. So the angel's like, come on, you gotta believe. This is from God, straight from God. And Zechariah, actually, we learn from the text, he wasn't believing. That his question wasn't a question in faith, it was a question in disbelief. And so the angel says, behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And from that moment on, until this baby is born, his father, Zechariah, is unable to speak. He can only write what he's thinking, and he's silent. His wife conceives. She has the baby, and he is born, and when he is born, the father is then able to speak as he is asked, what will his name be? And he makes the name what the angel told him to do, to name him as John. And it's really quite a story, and an important one. And there's a lot of verses here. So our teachers are going to be scrambling, I think, to cover the whole text, some 50, 60 verses here, and they're going to want to summarize it, because in this we have the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. And let me back up, looking at the wrong chapter. We have Zechariah's prophecy once the baby is born, and a beautiful text there in verses 68 to 80, and this is one of the hymns of the liturgy that we sing. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation. And it goes on, a text that comes from the prophets, and he says it again.
Those songs that punctuate Luke's account of both John's and Jesus' nativity, that kind of spontaneously come forth from the characters, often are the places where what's happening is explained.
Absolutely.
Where the characters get to say, in song, if you will, the real theological significance, if you will, of the events that they are actually witnessing and partaking in. So what does Zechariah finally at length, when he is able to speak, what does he confess about what's just happened to him and through him?
Well, this is such a beautiful thing, and this song we know as the Benedictus, which simply means blessed. He realizes that he is blessed, and that the Savior is coming, the Savior who the prophets of old have foretold, the Savior who will save us from our enemies. And this is the same one that was promised in the covenant of old, in the oath sworn to Abraham. So he recounts, so it's almost like a Sunday school summary of the blessings and the promises that God has made. And then in verse 76, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." And so this is speaking about John, who will go before to prepare the way, and he will give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God. And then it says that the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And that the rest of that story comes another week when we hear and read about John grown, fulfilling this prophecy about him and what he was called to do and sent to do.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Monday afternoon, the 6th of December. We're talking about the birth of John the Baptist as the forerunner to Christ. The stories are woven together by Luke in such a way that it's impossible to take them apart. He's juxtaposed these things so that it is one story, God readying his people through these two miraculous births for the one who comes after John. When we come back, we'll delve a little deeper into Zechariah's song, into the sunrise that will visit us from on high. They all understand that God's doing something to save his people. This is a salvation event. This is what is about to happen, the salvation of God's people and in Christ of the whole world. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Stay tuned.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota, Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pam, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Zechariah's song, and I'm kind of trying to put myself in the shoes of the people who would have been sitting around celebrating the birth of this child, and then at his naming, I think at the eighth day he's circumcised, and first of all, it's got to strike them that dad is mute until the child is named, and then suddenly he breaks into song, but then he says these remarkable things about this child, not only that he will be a prophet of the Most High. And it sounds like the ultimate prophet. I mean, the prophet who's finally going to do what all the Old Testament prophets tried but failed to do. And then he starts speaking in these terms that can only be described as kind of salvation terms, that this is going to mean the salvation of the whole world. And if you look at John's ministry, he certainly does introduce Christ, but I guess in a kind of a purely the way we measure it demographically— sure, he gets Jesus on the stage, but he hardly makes everything right the way Zechariah seems to expect him to.
Well, that's an interesting thought. This song really, this Benedictus really, he is pointing to his son, and I think he has to make clear what John was sent to do, what he will be sent to do. But that's always in service of the gospel message, in the gospel incarnate, Christ, who would come. He's born after John. We talked it last week about Mary visiting Elizabeth and how this John jumped in his mother's womb at the presence of the Savior, and this beautiful song really points out God's promise from the beginning, the salvation that he's won, and helps to show that thread of salvation that you and I talk about so often through the Old Testament, through all the events. And you're right, this is no mere prophet. This is the last prophet. And in fact, he's not speaking out of turn. We know that for certain. We can see that now looking back, looking at all of Luke and all the rest of the New Testament. And it's really quite amazing the things that he points out. And his song really, you know, if you look at it more closely, you see that it resembles the hymns of praise in Psalm 144, and also similar words in 1 Chronicles 29, recounting those past deeds of God's salvation. They really helped us, I think, give some weight and credence to what Zechariah is saying. This just isn't a proud daddy. This is a man of faith, and God has given him these words to sing, to shout, to proclaim after 9 months of holding his tongue. This is God speaking through him.
There's a connection reading earlier, Luke chapter 1, several verses, because these two stories are interposed with one another.
Yes, they are.
Mary has her song that she sings.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have a similar theme, and that is God remembering his mercy, his covenant for his people. How does that help explain what's unfolding here in this narrative?
Well, that's right. Both of these songs, the Magnificat and the Benedictus, recall God's mercy, and they really point to, it's like a neon sign, a billboard that's flashing, this is about to happen, finally, completely fulfilled. The Savior that you've long waited for, the promise that was made long ago, is going to happen, and there'll be no question about it. And we're very close, and again, we can look back. They were still looking forward, but it was the child in Mary's womb, the child that John leaped at when he was in his own mother's womb. This is the Son of God, the promised Savior. And both of these songs are about that and pointing to that and the blessedness that comes to all of us because God sent his Son to be born of a woman, to be born into humanity, to take on flesh and blood, and to take on the sins of all humanity on the cross. And this is that big announcement. And gets people's attention. All of these events are about that. pointing to Christ, pointing to salvation, pointing to the time is now, the time is right. This is that fullness of time that St. Paul talks about.
You mentioned this before, but the account essentially ends with kind of fast-forwarding to his adult life. He's all grown up, and there he is in the wilderness until, it says, he's in the wilderness until of his public appearance to Israel, which we learn from the gospel accounts, immediately precedes Christ's public appearance to Israel as well. They kind of tandem one another that way. What does it mean that he was in the wilderness until his public appearance?
Well, this mention of John living in the wilderness before his ministry really serves to kind of prepare us for where he will carry out his work of preparing the way for the Lord. It gives us the backstory. It's where he's going to come from. He's going to spend time in the wilderness. And it also reminds us again that John is the new Elijah, and it makes that connection. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, there we find Elijah himself living in the wilderness. And John is the final prophet, the new Elijah, the one chosen to point to the promise incarnate in Jesus Christ. And so the people, the Jewish people, certainly get all these nuances and connections because they know 1 Kings, they know who Elijah is, and this strange man that will walk out of the wilderness in animal skins and eating locusts and honey. Yes, odd, but the children of Israel, the Jewish people, have been given all the clues to understand who he is, especially when he opens his mouth and begins to preach and clearly points to Jesus and recalls the prophet's words of old and makes the connection in no uncertain terms. This Jesus is the Lamb of God, the promised Savior. He's the one who God has sent. And of course, we know they miss it and they can't believe it, but it's all there in living color, light, sound, and action.
I'm struck by the way that how simple God makes it. You mentioned before that it is, he's simply kind of dragging all of these Old Testament motifs up into the New Testament, that he has barren old people giving birth to children, reminiscent of Abraham and Sarah, and that prophets are suddenly walking around again. Angels are appearing for the first time in centuries. It's as though it's all started up again, but once it starts, it's here. There's no more waiting now. This prophet is different than the other prophets. The other prophets spoke and died before what they saw came to fulfillment. But John, when he appears, he barely has a chance to even begin his ministry. And all of a sudden, here is the one that he is foretelling. It's really the fulfillment of all these promises. With about a minute, talk about that.
Yes, it is. And it is his ministry. And that's the difference. It is his ministry to point to Jesus, God incarnate, right there, that he can see and others can see. He's really serving as kind of a bridge between the Old and New Testaments. You know, in John's preaching and teaching, he leads us to look back to the Old Testament law and covenant, but he also leads us to look forward to see how these things are fulfilled and completed in the coming Christ. This is the role of John. He brings together that Old Testament time of promise and types of salvation, types of Christ, repeated over and over again, prophets prophesying. He takes that and he connects it very clearly. He's that bridge that brings it all together. This now, this man, Jesus Christ, he is the one that all of that was about. He's the final sacrifice. He's the total salvation. He's the Son of God, the promised Savior, the Messiah, all of those things. And that is John's ministry, that and nothing else, and wonderful.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum. We use it as the basis for our conversations every week called Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
You can find out more about Growing in Christ by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link there next to our conversation with Pam. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back from this break, we're going to kick off Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, talking with Pastor Will Whedon, who's been kind enough to join us here in the studio live to talk about St. Nicholas of Myra. He's a bishop. He is apparently something of a philanthropist, and he is, in some odd and circuitous ways, the root or the origin of some depictions, more frivolous than others, that we celebrate at this Christmas time. Will Whedon will be our guest. We'll talk about the real St. Nicholas, and then Gretchen Passantino will join us in the second hour, talk about neo-paganism. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.